This is a talk, a diamond talk, November 5th, 1967.
Did it say where it was at?
No.
After trying a wide variety of tapers, Trekamer and his associates found that a single taper of 6 degrees on each piston was the most advantageous. The very high pressure is only on the center of the piston, which does not break under loads exceeding the normal compressive strength of the tungsten carbide because of the principle of massive support. The salt also supports the piston along the taper. The salt from the flat to the outside under a continuously decreasing pressure acts as a series of cells within a cell, thus producing in a single stage a multi-stage effect. At extremely high pressure, the thickness of the wafer between the flat faces of the piston may be only a few thousandths of an inch. Despite this, however, it is possible to pass a beam of light through the windows between the anvils and out the opposite window of sufficient intensity to make spectral or other optical measurements. During an experiment, the central sodium chloride region is removed and the sample inserted, usually as a very thin section located between two alkali halide crystals. Thus the sample is not affected by any extrusion which take place. The resultant sample or salt pellet assembly is usually about 40 thousandths of an inch thick. The spectra obtained are reversible with rising and falling pressure within a few percent, indicating that friction is not very large. The pressures obtained in the device as a function of load on the piston was determined by observing phase transitions previously observed by Bridgman in bismuth at 24,700 atmospheres and in tellurium at 43,500 atmospheres, and also by observing phase changes previously recorded by Bridgman in silver bromide at 83,200 atmospheres and in silver chloride at 87,100 atmospheres. Additional details of calibration are available in the referenced article. The obtaining of a multi-stage effect by judicious use of solid materials with proper internal friction offers hope of great simplification over the usual procedure of applying external support by use of a hydrostatic fluid. It will be recalled that the protruding portion of the piston in a single state, in a simple piston and cylinder apparatus, is the vulnerable part subject to failure in these devices. There have been some attempts to provide support by means of a solid pressure transmitting material that is subjected to load by a secondary piston. A successful design embodying this idea, capable of working to pressures of about 65,000 atmospheres at temperatures above 1,000 degrees centigrade, has been described by F.R. Boyd and J.L. England. Next reference number. Annual Report of the Director of the Geophysical Laboratory for 1957-58, pages 170-173. Before describing the last piece of high pressure apparatus to be included in this paper, it will be well to consider the use of solid media to transmit pressure. Solid media were used to transmit pressure as long ago as 1888 by Sir Charles Parsons. Next reference number, Sir Charles Parsons, comma, capital PROC period, capital ROY period, capital SOC period, parentheses London, close parentheses, 44 underlined, comma, 320-323, parentheses 1888, close parentheses. There has, until quite recently, however, considerable suspicion as to the results obtained by using solids to transmit pressure. That is, it has generally been felt that the pressure media must be a true hydrostatic fluid in order to make measurements that have any accuracy at all. Recent work, however, has proved that for most purposes, solid materials can be used very effectively to transmit pressure at pressures, particularly at the higher pressures. It may not be generally recognized that most materials that are normally liquids at room temperature and pressure become solids at pressures below 10,000 atmospheres. The best known composition for maintaining its liquid nature at high pressures is a 50-50 bivolume mixture of normal and isopentane. This material does not freeze to a solid until a pressure of 35,000 atmospheres is reached at room temperature. At room temperature, it is quite likely that the only hydrostatic fluid available for use at pressures of 100,000 atmospheres and above is hydrogen. All other materials would be solid at such a pressure. The difficulties to be encountered in attempting to use hydrogen as a pressure medium are formidable, if not impossible, to overcome. The mixture of isopentane and normal pentane, which is quite satisfactory for transmitting pressure up to the neighborhood of 35,000 atmospheres, is a very pressure transmitting material after the material has become solid. The logical question develops then, might it not be possible that some materials, normally solid under ambient conditions, might be and discovered that silver chloride and silver sulfate, in particular, were very good pressure transmitters at all pressures above a few hundred atmospheres. In addition, these particular materials were electrical insulators. A property that is very important in many applications. As previously referred to, Parsons found that fine powders of magnesia and other materials were fair pressure transmitting agents. Coes, Bridgman, and others in recent years have used fine-grained powders with quite satisfactory results to transmit pressure in some instances. Recognizing the advantages to be gained by the utilization of solids to transmit pressure, some research in this connection has been conducted at Brigham Young University. Next numbered reference, Yang Lai Cho, unpublished thesis, Brigham Young University, pressure propagation by solids, 1958. In these studies, the effectiveness of pressure transmission by such materials as pyrophyllite, talc, compressed molybdenum disulfide powder, compressed cornstarch, sugar, cotton, zinc oxide powder, iron oxide powder, mica powder, and other materials was studied. In general, it was found that materials with low internal friction made very good pressure transmitting substances. For most purposes, materials with a coefficient of friction lower than 0.35 are quite satisfactory as pressure transmitting media. A study of the effect of pressure on the friction of several materials has recently been made at Brigham Young University. Next reference number, Gerald R. Hyde, unpublished thesis, comma, Brigham Young University, 1957, friction at very high pressure. It is rather fortunate that several naturally occurring silicates of rather high density composed of microscopic particles or crystals transmit pressure very effectively. One such material, pyrophyllite, a naturally occurring hydrous aluminum silicate, next reference number, available from the American Lava Company, Chattanooga 5, Tennessee, is currently receiving considerable attention as a pressure transmitting material because it also is a very good thermal insulator is also a good electrical insulator, and in thin sections has sufficient friction to be used as gasketing in anvil applications. The effectiveness of solids as pressure transmitters depends to a considerable extent upon the geometry of the high-pressure system. materials with high coefficients of friction will be very ineffective in transmitting pressure over long distances down a long tube, or in transmitting pressure into the far end of a conical cavity. This fact has already been utilized in the pressure apparatus of Drickamer, and in this instance the pressure transmitting material was sodium chloride, which has the relatively low coefficient of friction of about 0.10, reference number refer to Gerald Hyde's thesis again. As ordinarily used in high pressure apparatus, a fine grained powdery material with a coefficient of friction of 0.45 is a pretty good pressure transmitter. For example, consider a simple piston and cylinder device in which the chamber and pistons have a diameter of 1/2 inch, and where the distance between the pistons, tips within the cylinder is maintained at 3/4 inch when the pressure is 1 atmosphere, parentheses, in this instance, each piston will be driven, correction. In this instance, each piston protrudes from the cylindrical cavity, and both pistons will be driven towards a center point within the chamber, period. Such a device is referred to as a double-ended simple piston and cylinder apparatus, close paren. The cell assembly consists of a cylindrical lava section 3/4 inch long and 1/2 inch in diameter. The specimen to be compressed consists of a cylinder 1/16 inch in diameter and 1/2 inch long, and is symmetrically located within the pyrophyllite. External surfaces of the pyrophyllite are coated with a dry film lubricant such as molybdenum disulfide.
Why doesn't it go?
Very good. So that there will be no extrusion of lava between the sliding surfaces. Under such circumstances, the actual pressure found to exist within the 1/16 diameter by 1/2 inch long specimen, parentheses, providing the specimen is of a reasonably hydrostatic material, such as silver chloride, close parentheses, is no less than 10% smaller than the calculated pressure obtained by dividing the force applied to the piston by the area of the cylindrical piston.
the diameter of 1/16 of an inch for the piston, correction, for the specimen is rather a lower limit considering the other dimensions that are set. If this diameter is decreased beyond this point, it will be found that higher and higher forces, must be applied to the piston in order to obtain the same pressure. Of course, any specimen diameter greater than 1/16 of an inch will sustained pressures of at least 135,000 atmospheres simultaneously with sustained temperatures of 2,000 degrees centigrade or so has recently been described. Next reference number, H.T. Hall, Review of Scientific Instruments, blank, 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 semicolon, also Science, blank, 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 period. This device is available commercially from the Engineering Supervision Company, 787 United Nations Plaza, New York, 17, New York, under license from Research Corporation. This device is essentially a three-dimensional version of Bridgman anvil apparatus. Instead of using two opposing anvils with circular faces, it utilizes four anvils with triangular faces. These anvils, shown in figure 6, are driven together by hydraulic rams along lines normal to the triangular faces. The anvil center lines intersect at tetrahedral angles in the center of a regular tetrahedral volume enclosed by the anvil faces. As used in the apparatus, each anvil is surrounded by a shrunk-on or press-fit steel binding ring. This binding ring is designed to absorb the tensive loads developed, as has previously been described. In this device, a regular pyrophyllite tetrahedron, figure 7, the legs of which are 25% longer than the corresponding legs on the triangular anvil faces, serves as pressure transmitting medium, thermal and electrical insulation, and also provides the necessary compressible gasket. The sample container, a tube which also serves as electrical resistance heater, is located within the pyrophyllite tetrahedron and runs diagonally from opposite edges, as is shown in figure 8. Electrical connections are made to the sample tube through metal tubes. Correction, through metal tabs shaped as shown in cross section in the figure. These tabs make electrical contact to the end of the tube and also make contact with the faces of adjacent anvils, correction, with a pair of adjacent anvils through which the heating current passes. Prisms of pyrophyllite located at the ends of the sample tube provide thermal insulation. A thermocouple spot welded to the sample container are passing through the walls or interior of the container is used to measure temperature.